Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. This week, there was a story that went viral, and I would imagine most of you are familiar with it. However, if you're not, I'll tell you a little about it. It's a story of a woman named Amber Geiger and a man named Botham John. And Botham's brother, Brant. You see, Amber was an off-duty police officer who had one evening come home and mistakenly gone into the wrong apartment. She lived in an apartment complex and went into the wrong one. And she thought it was her apartment, but it was in fact the apartment of Botham John. And thinking she was in her apartment and thinking he was an intruder, she shot him and killed him. And this became national news, whether or not she was going to be charged. And she ended up becoming charged ultimately with murder, and at the trial, she was convicted. After being convicted, they had the sentencing. And at the time of sentencing, they brought forward Botham's brother, Brant. And this is the part that went viral, that you probably saw this week, where Brant was standing there, or sitting there, and talking about, as they were deciding what to sentence her with, he said to her, "I love you, I want the best for you, I forgive you." And then he asked the judge if he could give her a hug. And so they said yes. And then what went viral was this picture of the brother of the man, Botham John, Brant John, hugging Amber Geiger, the woman who had killed his brother. And I saw that. And like many people, I reposted that, retweeted that on Twitter. And I said, and I quoted from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It was an example for me of the kingdom come near. Interestingly, in the aftermath of that experience, there has been a lot of conversation around forgiveness and around the reality of forgiveness, but it recalled for me similar experiences that I've had and seen over the years. You may recall that after the tragic shooting of the Emmanuel 9, the people at Mother Emmanuel Baptist Church in Charleston that were in Bible study had invited this young man in, who then in the midst of their prayers shot and killed them all. Then in the aftermath of that, the families of those 9 forgave. It recalls a story, the tragic story in Ohio, where a deranged person had gone in and shot up a school in an Amish community. And immediately afterwards, that Amish community took up an offering to bring and give to the widow and the children of the man who had slaughtered their own children. When you hear stories like that, we can better understand the lesson today where Jesus says, where the disciples say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Because it is in direct response to Jesus saying, right before we get this lesson, when people come to you and ask for repentance, you must forgive them every single time. And when Jesus said this to them, the disciples then look and say, "Lord, increase our faith." I believe we can all understand that kind of difficulty. And one might have suspected that Jesus' response would have been other than what it was. One might have thought, "Well, here you go. Disciples, I'm going to give you the 5-step program to increase your faith. Friends, I'm going to give you do these 3 or 4 things regularly. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to have an increase in faith." oh, here's what I need you to do. I need you to take my seminar on increasing your faith. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Now, Jesus does something absolutely opposite. He looks at them like, what are you talking about? Increase your faith. He says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is an incredibly tiny seed, and everybody there would have known that it was an incredibly tiny seed, and he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, it's just a fairly insignificant or barely significant amount of faith, then you can uproot a mulberry tree. And if you've ever seen a mulberry tree, they're huge. In effect, what Jesus is saying to them and to us in this moment, when they say increase our faith, he's basically saying there is no degrees of faith. There are no stair steps of forgiveness. Like, well, I'll forgive at the second level for a while, and then maybe I'll make it to the third level of forgiveness. Or, hey, you know what? I'm going to have about a level three level of faith. You know, it's not like when you go to the hospital and it says, how's your pain? And there's, hi, number zero. Hey, I'm perfectly fine. And then there's, oh, I'm getting discomforted. And then there's, ah, you know? It's not like Jesus has up there all the different levels of faith. Hey, where are you today? Are you at the, I am full of faith today, and here, I am not at the full of faith. No. Jesus says, what are you talking about? Increase your faith. In effect, he is saying there is faith and there is fear. There is uncertainty. There is doubt. If you are faithful in the small stuff, then, Jesus seems to be suggesting, if someone cuts you off in traffic and you go, you know, maybe they're just in a hurry because they just got bad news and they need to get home. Make up a story in your head. Or if you're faithful in forgiveness to that person who has lied to you and you go, yeah, I know they lied to me. They've asked for forgiveness. Of course, I'm going to forgive them. Then we are building this forgiveness culture and espousing what Jesus wants us to be about. That we are developing a faithfulness, forgiving culture that says that in the little things as well as the big, we seek to be about forgiveness. And if you build that in your life and in your communities, then you may be surprised what can happen. I grew up in a home that was fairly traditional, meaning that the traditional roles of male and female were a part of our home. My mother did the vast majority of the cooking and the cleaning. As my sister got older, she had to help with those things with my mom. My dad did the outdoor stuff and the fixing of stuff around the house and the painting of the house. And as I grew up, those were the things that I took on. So when my sister would be cleaning the house, I could be sitting there watching TV mocking her. But then she would get me back in the summers when I'm outside mowing the lawn, she's on the deck just waving, laying out, enjoying the sun. And so we grew up in those kind of traditional homes. Well, then I got married. And as you can imagine, my wife wasn't going to go down that road with me. She said, we're going to be equal partners in that. And so we do. But guess what happens oftentimes, still to this day? I will do something along the lines of this. I will straighten up the kitchen, and she'll come home, and I'll say, Heidi, did you see what I did? I straightened up the kitchen for you. And she'll just look at me quizzically and go, okay, good. Or I'll do the laundry. Heidi, I did the laundry for you. And she'll just look at me quizzically. Okay. And, or, well, I never dust, so I don't do that. But, you know what I'm getting at. I looked to her for the attaboy and a gold star. And she looks at me like, David, you only did what you were supposed to do. Don't be looking to me for a gold star because you did the dishes. And she's right. Although I still do it, I did it yesterday, as a matter of fact. Heidi, look what I did. And that speaks to this part where Jesus says in our gospel lesson, you worthless slaves, or you better interpretation, you unworthy slaves, you only did what you were supposed to do. He equates that to forgiveness. He equates that to living into and offering faithfulness that makes other people think, oh my goodness gracious, how did this happen? When we forgive, or when we are faithful, we do it because that is what living in the kingdom is all about. We do it because we have been faithful in the little things throughout our life that they show up when the big moments come. We've heard it. You heard it from the families of the Emmanuel Nine. You heard it from the Amish families. You heard it from Brant John, who this week, after he had done that, and people would interview him and say, how did you do that? Oh my goodness, how did you find that? He goes, what are you talking about? This is what people who love Christ do. It is what we do as the people who follow Jesus. We do the little things by developing a culture of faithfulness and forgiveness in the small moments. And when we can learn to give thanks for and to experience forgiveness and faithfulness and joy in those small moments, in those moments that seem insignificant, what we find is that they bring about an amazing sense of joy. I'm so glad Josephine is here from Bethania Kids. And Heidi, my wife, had visited there with them several years ago. And when she was there, she came back and told me a story of being at the orphanage and seeing the young boys that were there. Now, these young boys had a box, no bigger than this, maybe, with every worldly possession that they owned. Now, as she visited with them, she found them to be the happiest children she had ever met in her life. Poor, orphan children in India with a box full of possessions, to be the happiest children she had ever met. And she came home and we started talking about how it was when we were growing up and when we would be upset because we didn't get the newest, best toy or whatever, and how often those things can cause frustration in our lives, not only for us, for our children, for all children. And reminded us of the beauty of the simple little things that as you are faithful to them, you will find and you can find great joy. Jesus says that the size of faith does not matter. There is no bigger, smaller faith. It's just that faith matters. And faith changes the world. It allows you to do, allows ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Corrie ten Boom was a woman who served, it was during World War II, and her family was in different concentration camps, and she lost family members to being a part of the concentration camps during World War II. And afterwards, she went around the United States and around Europe, and what she did is she was offering a story of forgiveness for people who had been former Nazis or had been a part of that all the totalitarian regimes. And at one Sunday, or one event after a worship service, a particular man came up to her who was she remembered to be a very horrible guard at the concentration camp in Treblinka where she had been. And he stuck his hand out and said, "Thank you for offering us forgiveness. I was a guard at that camp where you were, and I am so sorry." And in that moment, Corrie Ten Boom said that she could not, by her own will, forgive him. But in the afterwards, what she said was this: "The only reason my hand went out and forgave him is because I had done it so many times before. It's what I had been trained to do." Forgive. Be faithful in the small things. And you'll be surprised how you'll be faithful when it truly, truly matters. In Jesus' name, amen.